Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Sloppy cool, two-piece band, short dress, or torn stockings. That chick singing is badass rockin', badass rockin'.
You're listening to Hardline 59 The Fan, KFNS, 59thefan.com. I am former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe, along with the voice of your Slew Billikens, Bob Ramsey, and the voice of reason.
Well,
John Hathaway? No, yeah. John's not here today. That is Matt Rocchio. He is our common sense some days. Some days we talk NBA and he gets emotional. It depends on the day. So, anyway, we have some irritating news and depressing news.
Really sad. One of the truly greatest players to ever play baseball, Frank Robinson, passed away today, 83 years old. This guy, if you don't know him, you know, he was a right fielder. He was overshadowed by Babe Ruth and Henry Aaron. You know, there's no, you know, what are you going to do about that, that you play the same position? Frank Robinson was as good as anybody who ever played the game. Interesting story he came up with. Cincinnati Reds was fantastic, played 10 years, and they traded him. They said he was an old 29. Oh, we got to trade Robinson. He's an old 29. Not only does he go to Baltimore the next season and win the Triple Crown, he goes ahead and hits another 179 homers in 6 years with Baltimore.
Wow.
And wins world championships. And so, and here's the one other thing I just remember as a kid. Frank Robinson could really wear a uniform. If you want to know what a baseball player in uniform is supposed to look like, look up pictures of Frank Robinson. He did everything great on the field, the way he handled himself, you know, and then he became the first African-American manager. I mean, really, really a sad day for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's too bad. So some news and notes for you there. Here's another piece of out of left field news. So the Alliance Football League is supposed to start today. This week is kind of their opening thing, spring league and such. And the XFL, not to be outdone, announced today, I can't believe I'm saying this, that Bob Stoops is going to be the head coach of their Dallas football team. Yes, that Bob Stoops, the Oklahoma coach who on the sideline there decided that, I believe it was his dad that died on the sideline. Somebody close to him, dad something. And he said, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm retiring early, just ain't happening. And somehow he has decided to come back as the head coach of the Dallas football team. This is the type of thing that could make the XFL work. If the XFL gets true stars, because they are fighting with the Alliance, whatever it is, AAF. And, you know, they have Christian Hattenberg, who is the old Penn State quarterback, right now trying to outduel Zach Mettenberger in their Tennessee team. That's a hell of a deal, right? There are a lot of fans behind those two guys, and people know those names. The XFL has got to figure out how to do something similar, and they are going to be competing leagues. But I tell you what, getting a guy like Bob Stoops, there's nobody that follows football that doesn't know the name of Bob Stoops. That is a big freaking deal.
Yeah, and you know, why would he come back? Easy money. The stress for doing that won't be one-tenth of what it is trying to compete at the highest levels of college football, because you factor in recruiting. This will be a walk in the park for him.
Yeah, that is probably right.
Easy money.
Yeah, that is probably right. So that this came to be... It was last night that it was reported that was likely. And so Ben Albright, who, dude, has some sources. He tweeted this out like a week ago or something. That he said, the more people I talk to, it just keeps coming up that Bob Stoops may be the next XFL coach. And Dennis Dodd tweeted, he said, not going to happen. Dennis Dodd, of course, is really good at his job, CBS Sports. And, yeah, so Pro Football Talk reported it yesterday. The new Dallas coach and general manager is going to be Bob Stoops. That was officially announced, I think, today. So if you want to make a splash, go ahead and do it. And they're going to have to dish out some money. But you know who's got money? McMahon.
Oh, right.
That dude. Yeah, I mean, McMahon has done, a million things wrong, but he did the WWE so right. He just cashed out like 100,000 shares or whatever it was and took all the money and said, yeah, let's give the XFL another try. He considers that to be his biggest failure in life. And they kind of did because they didn't fill up the gas on their generators on NBC and the lights went out in like week two or three.
I'm not interested in either league at all, but what I do like about them is they're giving opportunities for players. And that's what I like about them. I won't watch. I'm just not interested. But I do like for careers that are so short and some careers that never get an opportunity to begin.
Yeah.
There's opportunities for guys to play that really want to play. And that's why I have an appreciation for it.
That's a great point. And the Alliance Football League there is basically sponsored by the NFL. So that's going to be, if it works, their adopted minor league.
Do you know enough about what they're going to do to compare and contrast that and NFL Europe?
NFL Europe didn't work because it was in Europe.
But because I used to work with DeMarco Farr, and he had coached over there, and it sounded like a really cool deal, but it was in Europe.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It just isn't going to work in Europe. So they're trying it here.
Yeah.
In hopes that there's enough to keep it afloat. It's not going to be a cash cow. It certainly isn't. But it is going to be enough that you put it in cities where you would put minor league baseball, and you just have something underneath. But
no
big name guy.
The Berlin Spitfire. Apparently, I'm not going to stand for it.
Out of nowhere.
You put big name guys.
I don't think Berlin had a team, and there was a team in the Spitfires. Neither, but it was not in Berlin. Like I grabbed two random things.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
I remember from NFL Europe and threw them together. It wasn't a real thing.
Appreciate the effort.
Yeah, thank you.
So LeBron James is at it again. Why not? You're LeBron James. You've tried to trade your entire team to the point where two nights ago, LeBron took his worst loss of his career. They lost by 42 points. They didn't belong. In the second quarter, you looked and you're like, yeah, they you don't belong in the same court. What are you doing? And LeBron was playing. And LeBron was so disengaged, not from the game, from his teammates, that near the end of the game, he goes down to the end of the bench, four seats away from anyone, and sits by himself. No one's talking to him. And he stares out into the crowd. Stares out to the crowd on the other side of the court. He's not watching the game. Meanwhile, Rajon Rondo, I guess his daughter was at the game or something. He was sitting in the crowd. He was sitting in the first row. I don't even know how that's possible. And LeBron, because Rich Hill, his agent, is also representing Anthony Davis, and this is without a doubt collusion. We keep trying to say everything's collusion, that the Colin Kaepernick stuff is collusion, and that the Major League Baseball stuff is collusion. I don't believe any of that is collusion. This is collusion. This is you having the same agent talking to Anthony Davis and saying, do this, we'll make it happen. I can talk to Magic Johnson. We will get you an offer. It'll work. Let's get you over here and give it a chance.
Which is why the story that came out yesterday, it was essentially reporting that the only reason the Pelicans engaged at all with the Los Angeles Lakers. This is why the NBA is so great. This is such a level of petty that adults should not be getting
into. Winhorst said this to Rachel
Nichols. Yeah, Winhorst said this to Rachel Nichols. Thank you. He said that the only reason the Pelicans were taking calls was that to exacerbate the trade talks to the point where the Lakers were publicly throwing everybody they could on their team at the Pelicans just so that those players would become unhappy, unsettle LA, and essentially burn them this entire season for them. So they basically took the calls. Forced, Adrian Warden Woj and Shams Charania just forced them to essentially report all these things about how they're trying to trade Kuzma, Ball, Ingram, Hart, Ivaka Zubac, who they did trade anyway, and getting all that out of the media just so that every single one of those players would read every one of those reports and know that LeBron does not give a care about them, doesn't think he can win with them, all of that. And if that's true, that's a level of petty that I'm extremely here for. if we got to the point now where an NBA team says, fine, you want to backdoor us illegally against your contract? Fine, we'll burn every bridge we can possibly think of to the team you're trying to go to. That's fantastic.
Rock, I just sent you the audio. I think if you can play that through your phone, everybody could hear exactly the conversation here. So this was with Rachel Nichols yesterday. She was on with Brian Windhorst on her show in the afternoon there, and she just threw out the possibility of, is there any potential at all? And here is what he had to say. Here's the audio from the show yesterday.
That much, but kept putting out publicly all these trade offers so that we saw last night it would ruin their team chemistry, at least temporarily, disrupt all their young guys, make things miserable for this team. Is that possible?
It's not just possible. It's what happened.
You think so?
I don't know. I know that the Pelicans, you know, how do I want to put this without
getting
trouble?
Hey, man, you're on TV. Let's go now.
The Pelicans had a method to their madness in the way this went. I've never, in 16 years covering the NBA, I've never seen anything like this. It's fascinating, and it's not even about the trade. It's about everything that's going on around the trade.
Good insight.
And that's why there's not going to be
a
trade.
So,
interesting.
Yeah, and that was Tracy McGrady telling you to get going here. Brian Windhorst is not wrong often. And so now it is interesting. Stephen
Especially
A. Smith,
now when it's connected to a team that LeBron James is on. He's almost never wrong.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith fully disagrees with this. Stephen A. Smith has sources as well. But I'm with Windhorst here. I think this was the game. And the Pelicans are pissed because they're losing. They can't. One, they're kind of in disarray on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They already lost Boogie Cousins. That didn't work. And now they're losing their other star. They're going to be stuck with nobody. So it's a bad spot for them to be. And they feel like LeBron just poached a player from their team. And so they're trying to sabotage the Lakers. By the way, the trade deadline ended 19 minutes ago. So it is now LeBron is stuck with a group of guys. Lonzo Ball that he wanted to trade. By the way, LeVar Ball made his rounds today. He was on every show on Fox Sports 1. He was on with today he told Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless that Lonzo's better than LeBron. LeBron's old, and now he can get hurt just from falling down. Nobody even touched him. He gets hurt. Come on. LeBron's old, man. Lonzo's the future. And so LeVar's making his rounds, so you got to deal with that. You have Kyle Kuzma, who's actually a really good player.
Yeah.
That he still had on the trading block. The one guy that you can lean on in this team to be a good player that you may want to keep around in the long term and now is unhappy with you. Obviously, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, everybody on this team is pissed. And you can see it. So I think the season is largely over. Their coach is probably gone. LeBron James is on an island now to where he's going to have to try to reassemble this entire team. And LeBron ain't that young. I think LeBron has got 2, maybe 3 dominant years left.
Well, that's when he made the move to go there and win championship, you know, revive the Lakers and do all that. I was concerned age-wise.
Mm-hmm. So here's what LeBron had to say yesterday. It's still LeBron topic, but we're shifting from LeBron made himself look like a fool. He orchestrated this whole thing, and the Pelicans beat him to the punch. So too bad for you, bud. Yesterday, though, Harrison Barnes, if you guys remember, Harrison Barnes was a really big piece of the old Golden State teams that he was their depth. And when they lost him, they actually struggled for a bit. Of course, they're still winning championships. But he's a good player. He was playing in a game yesterday, and he got traded. Like in the middle of the game, he got traded in the middle of the game. That's a rarity. Typically, they don't give you a choice to go play in a game if you're on the trade block. They say, we got to keep you healthy because if you get injured, this trade falls through. And LeBron comes out on his Instagram and says, so let me guess, it's cool. The team had to do what's best for the franchise, right? Traded this man while he was literally playing in the game and had zero idea. I'm not knocking who traded him because it's a business and you have to do what you feel is in the best. But I just want this narrative to start to get real and change. Not when a player wants to be traded or leaves a franchise that he's a selfish, ungrateful player. But when they trade you, release you, waive you, cut you, et cetera, it's best for them. I'm okay with both, honestly. Truly am. Just call a spade a spade. Here is what he started out losing all credibility because he didn't do any research. The Harrison Barnes agent told him before the game, and the team talked to him specifically and said, you are on the trade block. There is a decent chance you are traded tonight.
Mm.
You are welcome to play in the game if you want. Harrison Barnes said, yeah, cool. I'll play.
No See, if I'm Harrison Barnes, I would just say one thing there. If you do trade me, let me know, because I'm taking the next 27 shots in the game. Like, that would have been my reaction. Just let me know. And then I would have walked away quietly just so that if somebody whispered me on the bench, hey, man, you've been traded. Be like, can I get checked
in? Give me the rock.
Can I get checked in, please?
Yeah.
And then just go ahead and see what you can do that night.
So LeBron is pointing out something that we have discussed this a little bit, but he's pointing out something that I moderately agree with. He just built it on something that didn't exist, and this is why his arguments in general don't really resonate with me.
But this is why I'm on the side of the – I'm against the people who say that the players in the NBA have too much power now. I say, my response is they simply have almost as much power as teams now, and that's okay to me.
Well, most people would like – just like we were talking about with the NCAA, like most people would like the teams to have more power than the players, because otherwise, if the players can do whatever they want, there is no team. Everybody knows a team is just a composition of all the players there. You need the team to have the ultimate rights. I think everybody can agree with that. Otherwise, honestly, you know, it's like I told you about that stupid meme that was not true. It was like Kevin Durant was playing his high school state championship, and man, we were down by 25. Thank God the other team had an extra jersey. I switched over there. We won by 50. You know, it's like that's a joke, and it's making fun of his Golden State stuff. But the reality is, if players could do whatever they want, it'd be an anarchy, a total chaos. You can't have that. The teams have to have more power. However, LeBron, I say this. I don't want to get political, so I won't go down that avenue. But I think there are times to make points. We just got to pick the right ones, and this was not the right one. Don't use a guy who was clearly told about it. This would be different. Remember the Wilmer Flores moment where he was told mistakenly that he was traded from the Mets?
Oh, he broke down.
And he was crying in the middle of the game. Well, it turns out he wasn't actually traded.
Right.
But, like, that's like a moment. Like, no heads up, nothing. In fact, it wasn't even true. But you told you in the moment, at least then you could build it on something. Like, dude, he's playing in the middle of the game. You told him the fifth inning, hey, bud, I need you to run back out there, but you don't play for us anymore. But just tonight.
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird thing. At least you could build it on that. Instead, you build it on Harrison Barnes, who volunteered to continue playing just because he felt like playing. He's like, well, we might as well. And you build it on this. Now, I am with him that I like players to have some say-so. But I do think we're bordering in the NBA about having too much. If you can dictate where you want to go just by stomping your feet and saying, I'm out of here, that's bordering on too much for me. When you sign a contract and you're getting paid. It's different because, remember, the teams, they're getting the people are playing for them, that's true, but you are the one doing the paying. You're paying your money.
But
Anthony Davis isn't going to LA, first of all.
But let me say this.
That's true.
Let me say this. The teams are the structure, but you go to see the players. And usually there may be some circumstances that I'm not thinking of. Usually the 10th guy on the team is not demanding anything of anybody. Usually it's the stars or the perceived stars of the team. Big league sports in particular, entertainment. And so you have some of the same power with the stars in the NBA as you do with movie stars. And they're going to command and demand and, you know, and so there, I think you can link some similarities. Too much, I don't know what too much is, but for decades, pro sports leagues all got rich off the backs of players.
Well, yeah, and there was no free agency.
Who did okay. I mean, most of them did okay, but you really didn't have the movement. Now you have free agency, so the pendulum swung. And I think the question is, has it swung too far?
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably right about figuring where that balance point is.
Yeah, I think that's well put.
Yeah.
I think that's well put. because that's what I said. I think we're bordering on the players having
too
much power. I don't know that we're there yet. I do know this. When players get to dictate where they want to go, even though they have signed contracts.
Even though they're not a free agent.
Right. And you have a while to go. And this gets us back to what we were talking about before. The NBA has it set up to where basically your first 6 or 7 years, if you want to make any money, you got to stay with the team that drafted you. That is the setup in the NBA. And I don't love that. But that's the rules. So that's what it is. I mean, that's why Anthony Davis is still there. And he mostly played out his 6 years, and then you get some time to do it. That is the setup of the whole thing. But I will say that when Kyrie said, I'm out, he was out. And when Kawhi Leonard said, I'm out, he was out. And you're right. Those are both star players. Those are both perennial all-stars. And that was a good point, Rock, that both you guys made. Anthony Davis is still there. But that's mostly because the Pelicans gave a middle finger. Not because they did what was best for the Pelicans.
Yeah. Well, to fairness to the Spurs did the same thing. They were like, we're not going to trade you, and if you don't want to play, fine, don't play. We'll trade you in the offseason. We're not doing this right now. And they just kind of told him to sit there and shut up until after the offseason because we're the Spurs and we don't capitulate.
Look, he doesn't want to be there, but they're not going to capitulate. I think I'm fine with the way it worked out.
And also, again, when we talk about public perception, it's a little – I think these cases are a little different. Fans criticize Kawhi for – bailing on a team that surrounded him with winners and gave him a championship.
Do you know why?
I think no one's on Anthony Davis' side right now outside of his colleagues in the NBA because or no one's on New Orleans' side in the same way they are other small markets because New Orleans failed in almost every sense to put a team around Anthony Davis, aside from last year when they made a panic trade to get DeMarcus Cousins there. Outside of that, they for 5 years, they twiddled their thumbs and never gave him teams around him.
For the very informed fan, I agree with you. I think you are in the minority here, though. I think fans in general, I think we're missing the boat on this. Fans get mad at players because they're the ones leaving the city.
Mm-hmm.
Your team's not leaving the city, so why would I get mad at the
well,
city?
Right.
They're still here with me.
Let's knock on wood here. We're talking about the Pelicans right now.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though. Just in general, like when players want to leave and they demand a trade, we as fans feel betrayed.
Right.
You don't feel betrayed by the owner that's sitting there and trying to keep you there. Or if the owner trades you away, at least they've got something else. The owner isn't abandoning your city. Why do we hate the Rams so much? They left us.
Yeah,
if
they had
just made bad trades for the last 4 years instead of leaving, we're all okay with that.
I think fans are more intelligent and they understand when a team doesn't adequately put up. I mean, listen, I know there were a lot of Cavs fans who were mad when LeBron left, but there was also tons of Cavs fans who were like, yeah, we have a terrible owner, and if I was LeBron, I would have left too because Antoine Jameson and 37-year-old Shaq aren't cutting it. And so, there were a lot of Cleveland fans who burned his jersey. There were a lot of Cleveland fans who were like, yeah, our owner sucks and this blows.
Yeah, and I think there's more access than ever before to that type of information and all what's going on. We actually get the salary. There are people that have websites explaining the salary cap to you, how it all works. There's more access than ever before. But I think the ultimate reason that everybody's mad at the players is because they're the ones leaving. That's why. You know, it's like when you trade a player, it's just a little bit different. At least the owners and the team's not leaving. You are very rarely, unless your city doesn't have a team, are you just a fan of a player. Like now, like we in St. Louis have a ton of Michael Jordan fans because we just grew up. Chicago's pretty close, and we were just Jordan fans.
Right.
And we all sort of watched the Wizards when he went over there, too. We were just Jordan fans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we had a team, we'd have been a fan of the team.
Right.
You know, it's like I was a Kurt Warner fan because he was a Ram. You know, it's like, but when Kurt Warner left, I was still cheering for the Rams when they played the Giants or when they played the Cardinals.
Here's the thing, though. My dad's favorite player, Joe Montana. You know why? Because the Cardinals left. Yeah. And then Joe Montana was the most fun player to watch.
Yeah, so there you go. So when you are outside of that, you pick players. And then you don't care if they're traded.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're actually in the city, and that's the people that drive the narrative, the city and the reporters that are close and all that. Because let's not act like the people in town, all of us, have resentment towards the Rams. We cover them differently because of that. So the people actually in town and in national writers that know them close covered a little bit differently when a player demands a trade and leaves like that. So anyway, a lot of conjecture that most of you probably didn't care anything about. So there you go. We will come back, talk some Cardinals. I promise we will. But first, I'm going to read you something that I stumble over every time, and Rock's going to jump in and tell me what this word is.
Just point to me.
In the classiest gala this side of the Mayor's Ball, Mardi Gras presents the inaugural
Bacchanalian
Ball on Saturday, February 9th. This year's theme, Time Lab, features four time-travel-themed parties. In one, as you roar with Gatsby, go mad for the atomic age, breakdance at Boombox, and see the future at Beyond. Dress to the nines in your era-specific finest as you enjoy all-inclusive food and drinks inspired by each time period. Visit stlmardigras.org now to get your all-inclusive passes for this mind-bending journey through time. Plus, use our code BBGUEST19. Got that? Capital B, capital B, GUEST19. And get the $80 ticket for only $55. There you go, everybody.
How about that?
There you go. Bacchanalian. That's all you got to know.
Boom. TJ, I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, buddy. I don't care if you guys want to hear about the NBA. I am so interested right now, and the Cardinals don't report until Monday, so you guys can just shove it. We'll be back talking Cardinals in a bit at the Hardline.